Today, if you haven't picked up the theme, we're going to be thinking a little bit, perhaps a lot, about prayer and its significance in our Christian life. Hopefully you collected a sheet as you came in, so that gives an outline simply of what I'm going to be saying and sharing. I think we need to realise right at the start, and I hope we do, that prayer is not merely telling God or asking God, but placing ourselves under his care and his will. And we've just heard that, you know, when you send a message, not everyone responds in the way we want it. So if we're believers and followers of Jesus, actually prayer is not saying, God, do this, or I want this. But God is actually, we are actually placing ourselves under his perfect will. I can do it. It's often the theme of a two-year-old. It can be the theme of a 22-year-old or even a 60 or 72-year-old. Sometimes people don't change. But I can do it was really the heart of Adam and Eve. Your will be done, is that our prayer, or my will be done? Now, that's the challenge that comes to us always. Now, I don't ever believe that God wanted prayer to be onerous or difficult, but rather delightful. He wanted that communication with us to be a joyful and a pleasant thing, not a difficult thing. We've already had two beautiful prayers read to us by Jenny about how Paul prayed for people. And I'm sure his heart was aching, but the way he prayed for people because he knew them and he loved them and he shared with them. So, often we feel guilty. I think there are two things ministers or pastors can preach about to make the congregation feel guilty. You haven't been praying enough and you haven't been reading your Bible enough. And they're the two things that are sure to bring a guilty conscience. I don't think that's how it should be. Prayer should be a delight that we enjoy. But first of all, friends, these things I've got there. If we're going to pray, we need to know who we are. That is, who we are as Christians and where we stand with Jesus, where we are in relation to God, and then what authority we've got. So who we are, I'm a Christian, I'm in relationship with God through Jesus, and I have an authority because I'm a child of the living God. Now, we didn't read from Ephesians, but in Ephesians we read these words: be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Just grasp that. Let us all grasp that. Be strong in the Lord, not our strength, and the strength of his might. That's the challenge. That's where our strength is. Put on the full armour of God. Now, people amuse me a little bit about this, and it's probably my quirky sense of humour, but, you know, people say, oh, every morning I put the full armour of God on. I'm never sure when you take it off, but then I'm never sure that you want it on in bed either, the armour. But we just need that awareness of what that armour of God is. So we put on the whole armour of God, not only part, but the whole armour of God, because it's not in our strength, but in his strength. And then our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Friends, once the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we are in a spiritual warfare. We've changed. We might be alive on earth, but we've allowed the Spirit of God into our lives. We've thrown out the spirit of evil, and we've asked the Spirit of God to come in by asking Jesus into our life. So we now come into a battle that is spiritual, and that is different from a battle that is earthly. And we need to realise where that is. And then when we get to the end of that little section on the armour of God, stand and withstand and stand strong is mentioned a number of times. Why do we need to know where we are? Why do we need to put on the armour of God? Because we need to stand. What to do? Not to fight. The fight is over. The battle is won. We need to stand and pray. That's the challenge that really comes through that little section of scripture. Now, I want to say, if you're disabled with a disease and you're stuck in a wheelchair, you can still pray as a believer. If you're one of our little children, you can still pray. If you're a single, a married, a divorced, or whatever, an aunt, an uncle, or whatever, you can pray. So we need, as believers, to take up that challenge. But there are certain things. There are certain things that Satan does as he builds strongholds. So I've asked a capable helper to step forward. Thank you, Ruth. She might be playing the part a bit too well. Right, so I've got there that Satan blinds the minds. God gives us a way of seeing ourselves and a way of seeing him. James says, when we look in the mirror of a morning, we see who we are. When we look in the mirror of God's word, it reflects us. But what happens? Yes. Right. So what does Satan do? Satan blinds the minds of people, distorts minds and thinking. First trick he plays. The second thing is that God gives us his word. We who are privileged, we have his word. But what does Satan do? Snatches it away, and it's gone from many people. So sad. The third thing is that God gives us, as it were, the purity of himself. But what does Satan do? Satan says, white is not white, and is very happy to lie and to deceive. Jesus comes as the way, the truth, and the life. He also brings the light of the Word of God. He brings the light. But what does Satan do with the light? I am the light, Satan says. Follow me, and distorts the light of God's word. And then what does God do? He sows the seed of truth. Probably best illustrated in the sowing of the seed with the sower and the growth. But what does Satan do? If you read the parable very carefully, at night, Satan comes with tares. Tares are not weeds as such. They don't just grow naturally. Satan comes at night, and if you look carefully, the tare seeds are brown, so they can't be distinguished from the earth. And Satan comes at night and he sows these tares. And what happens? Well, of course, the farmer can't distinguish the tares seeds because they just grow up with the wheat. And as they grow with the wheat, what happens is they get to a certain height, about this high, and they look the same. The tares and the wheat look the same, and then all of a sudden the tare tops turn over a little bit. And all of a sudden the farmer realises that the wheat and the tares, while they've grown together, actually, the tares have now poisoned the crop because You can't pull out the tares when you recognise that they've grown, because you'll pull out the wheat. And at the same time, if you're not careful and you reap it, then in fact the tares poison the crop. What's the warning here? The warning here is that within the Christian church, Satan sows tares. And what does he do with the tares? Well, it causes division within churches, and it causes upset, so that often a whole church can be poisoned, or a whole crop can be poisoned, because evil has had its way. We need to be very careful, friends. Not only does he use those five little ways, but he uses lots of different ways. Now, as that happens, thanks, Ruth. As that happens, Satan builds up a stronghold. And I've got it here that this is the stronghold of Satan that he builds up in his own way. And the logic would be, how do we deal with this? How do we deal with this? Well, if that was just a wall that Satan has built up, or an ordinary sort of wall, we might decide to deal with it in an ordinary sort of way. So we would logically find something that would help us deal with this wall. And what we might do is grab a ladder. And we would think, now the best way to deal with this wall is perhaps with this ladder. Is to fall off. Not really, but to go up and go over the ladder, over the wall, on the ladder, or to go around it, or maybe to go under it. How do we deal with the wall in normal life? Well, we would try and knock it down, go over it, go under it, go around it. But how do we do that spiritually? If Satan has built up a wall in these ways, how can we deal with it in a spiritual sense? Well, obviously we can't go up and over it with a ladder. What do we do? Well, we need to pray. We sometimes get very upset with things going on in the world, and sometimes we get more upset than we spend time in prayer. Guilty, and maybe all of us feel guilty about things. Even situations that arise in life, like there are lots of walls that Satan puts up in family life. There are lies that have been told. There are distortions with the truth of God's word in family. There are people who have been upset, and the Bible, it's as if it's been snatched away from people. There are people who have gone off following evil because the light has gone in that direction, and people have said, oh, given up on God. And it's as if a wall has been built, and Satan says, great, this is exactly what I want. A wall between believer and the person who they're trying to reach. So what is the answer? Well, I've just put down a few resources there, but the main resource and the main challenge is in Corinthians 2, verses 10 to 4, or verse 10 to 4. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. So often conversation is not going to win the fight. Certainly, bashing someone is not going to win the fight. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So what pushes over a spiritual wall? Well, power in prayer pushes over a spiritual wall. Now, we think other things can do this. And of course, we need to talk to people. We need to spend time with people to overcome problems. But friends, we need to pray. And we need to ask God to give us understanding as well as to work in the lives or life of the person we are praying for. So that if we are dealing with a spiritual power, we need to use a spiritual resource. Now, if this was a brick wall we wanted to get rid of, well, we could just jackhammer it. Or we could do something to get rid of it if it was in the wrong place in our garden. But if there's a problem that is a spiritual problem, then it needs a spiritual answer. And it seems logical, but actually it's not always. And one of the things that often happens is that even when Christian churches try to get together to pray, there's a bit of a niggle and an upset, which is so stupid. Now, there's the use and the misuse. So, how do we use power? How do we misuse power? Well, we need to use God's authority. We need to be careful, friends, because what do? We claim the promises of God, and we claim those and we plead them. God, you have promised in your word. But we have authority to command Satan. Some Christians move that around. We need to be careful. Some Christians think they can command Satan, which they can, but also command God. We need to be careful on that. We can't command God. We plead with God on the basis of his word. And we command Satan because we have that authority and we stand on that authority. Now, what does it mean from Ephesians... pardon me, to be praying at all times? Well, I think it means to be aware during the day of times to pray. I don't think it means that you have to be sitting all day praying, but in your work, in my work, at home, washing the dishes, looking out the window, gardening, whatever, they are times for prayer. And I believe that that's a time to pray. Now, we also need to take the idea of in the Spirit, Ephesians says. Now, some people say or feel that that has to be a tongues expression. Yes, some people speak in tongues. Some use tongues in private prayer. Fine. And I know some here do that. Great. Some people use tongues in more public way. And if you believe you have that gift, obviously if you used it in church, it would need to be interpreted to be biblical. But that's open. Now, is that what Paul means when he says, pray in the Spirit? Well, I've got there that it's not magical. You know, some people think that because they can speak in tongues, that that's magical. Well, God gives to some people a gift in that way. But it's not necessarily magical because it can be misused. It can be manipulated. It can become a source of power. And we need to be careful about that. But we were reminded that the Holy Spirit intercedes. So, look, how do we know sometimes when we're praying what's really going on? But aren't you glad that it's the heart that God sees? And he sees and knows our intention. So if we're praying for people, how important it is that our heart is focused for their benefit and for God's will. So friends, let's pray during the day, any time, a set time. Yes, but another time and other times as well. To pray at all times. And what does prayer do? Well, prayer reasserts our rightful authority and power in a world that is deceived by Satan. Prayer sort of brings us back onto an even keel, which is really very important. When we stop, or during the day when we're thinking, God, I am praying, we are praying to the God of the universe, the Creator, the God of heaven and of earth. That's who we're praying to. And friends, that brings our perspective back onto, hopefully, an even keel. It redirects our focus or our compass. And so, what does it do? Well, prayer reasserts our rightful authority and power in a world that is deceived by Satan and re-establishes reality and truth in the midst of lies. It's interesting, isn't it, to just re-evaluate what is said during the week to you that has been a lie, whether it's come on telly or whether it's come in some other way. It seems like the world is full of distrust and lack of truth. Prayer just, God, I'm just getting back into focus with where you are. How wonderful. Prayer reasserts our rightful authority. God, I am one of your children and I am praying for the members of my family. Thank you that you hear my prayer. Stephen has said, prayers aren't always answered as quick as we'd like them to, like most we'd like answered yesterday. In fact, most we'd like not to have had to pray about. But we do have to pray, and that's it. We also need to realise that when we're dealing with Satan, we are dealing with a created being. We are not dealing with equals. Satan and God are not equals. He has no authority in that sense. He is defeated and he is not God. We need to be careful because we can sometimes get very confused and sometimes even upset. We get upset because we think, oh, Satan knows about me. Satan does not understand my thinking or what's in me. Satan only hits me when he sees action. So the actions I do, he interprets and comes as an angel of light. I know what you're like. I know what you're like. But actually, you only know what I'm like because I've shown you by the way I behaved. God knows my heart and my thoughts. That's why it's so wonderful that when we pray, the Spirit understands what's going on inside and he can interpret and translate for us. So please, friends, don't be confused, will you? He's created, he's defeated, and only has a short time. But he will do everything. Satan will do everything. To trick us, to distort truth, to bring lies, to say black is white, to do what he can to get us upset and confused. And in the end, well, we're saying, is God real? Are the promises of God true? And we begin to doubt. And that's exactly where he wants us. Doubting God and doubting prayer. So stand firm, please, on who God is. Now, I said earlier, and I want to come back to that, that prayer pulls down the strongholds of evil. So we need to be praying. The two beautiful prayers that Jenny read are praying for each other. And that's what's on the front of our little booklet thing today, a reminder of praying for each other. Now, you mightn't be standing around people kneeling and touching them, laying hands on them, but just reread those two prayers that were read to us. The prayers that came, pardon me, from Colossians and Ephesians. And I've added another one there that we didn't have read. The dimensions of God's love, that we pray for each other, that we might know the width, the height, the depth, the breadth, the dimensions of the love of God. Now, I know we need to pray for an infected toenail and all those other things. And that's all fine to pray for those things for each other. But it's sometimes good to pray for a bigger dimension, a bigger understanding of God and who he is. And it could be that when we pray for a bigger understanding of who God is, that some of the smaller things that affect us, we are not so worried about. They seem to disappear. But please let us pray for each other. So I've got down there, let us not ignore the devil's existence and his methods, because he will stop everything and try and stop us from praying. Also, friends, we need to be careful, because sometimes we stop the effectiveness of prayer. Bible says there in Ephesians, if we are angry. Now, there are some things it's good to get angry about. The things that anger God, injustice, inhumanity, greed, these sorts of things. But friends, we sometimes get angry because we don't get our own way. We sometimes get angry because, well, it's their fault and not mine. There's normally, what, three sides to a story? Theirs, yours, and the truth? Yes. So we just need to be careful that our anger is not impeding our prayer life. We also need to make sure that resentment or a lack of forgiveness. Now, I don't know what some of you have been through and the sorts of things that are annoying or where things sit. But we need to be working through some of these things. Things that bring up a resentment in us. Maybe things from the past. Just let's deal with them in the light of who God is and his forgiveness for us. And let's not ignore God's instruction to pray. You know, we laugh because we're people of the book. Baptists are very strong on that, on the book and prayer. But often Baptists, they've said, are active people, like it's Anglicans who are good with the prayer book and the Bible reading, and the Baptists are flapping around doing things. Now, it might be good to bring some of that flappiness into our praying and reading. But today we're talking about praying. So bringing some of that into our praying. And friends, let's be aware, God is not deaf. He hears our prayers. You know, the people in Egypt, they said, God hasn't heard us. Oh, he had heard them. He'd heard their cries and he hears ours. God is not blind. That is, he sees what's going on. God is not dumb. He speaks to us in a variety of ways, particularly through his word. He is not without feeling. We have a great high priest who intercedes, who understands us and understands our temptation. He is not without sympathy and understanding. And God is not a bully. He doesn't push us around and override our will. But the last little comment says, however, he won't be bullied either. We don't bully God. We come under his authority in prayer, and we are delighted with his will, although we don't always understand it. So friends, let us be people of prayer, whether that's at home or whether we rethink what we do corporately. Because there was a time when we used to meet the first Saturday of the month for a prayer meeting, but we allowed, well, COVID interfered with that, and maybe it's time to rethink. Maybe it's time to rethink other things in prayer corporately as well. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear them and I will heal their land. And isn't the healing of the land so necessary at this time? But if my people, if we will humble ourselves and pray, God will hear and heal. Let's pray together. Our Father, we bow in your presence. This whole thing about prayer is in one sense a mystery to us, because it just seems sometimes as if we could be talking to the air, and yet in another way we know that isn't true. We know that what's true is that we're talking to you, the living God. And we're talking to you through the power of your Holy Spirit, who's giving us thought and insight, and at the same time interpreting. We thank you that we are talking to you through Jesus, our only authority. We thank you that he is at your right hand interceding for us. So we've got the Son and the Spirit working on our part and bringing our prayers to you. Father, forgive us for the times when we have been prayer lazy or prayer thoughtless, casual, and Father, help us to be diligent in our praying and open to what you are doing. May we be people who are prepared to humble themselves and to pray and to watch what you do in healing personal relationships, family hurts, and on a bigger, wider screen, what you might do in our country and world as your people pray. We ask these things through Jesus. Amen.